You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Oh, mate. Just waking up now to watch this Brentford game in my bed. Just gone 4:45 here. So, got the game on. So, fingers crossed. Brentford get the results. So, stay tuned, peeps. Stay tuned. Just got to work now. So I've got a little session with my Year 7 boys, but I think I'm going to have my mobile on and have it on in the background on the KO and hopefully see what happens in this extra time. Fingers crossed we can get this win, mate. So I tell you, nail-biting stuff. But fingers crossed. Oh my God, I can't believe what I just saw. I mean, did you say it's an unbelievable free kick or bad goalkeeping? Oh my days. I just hope now, second half, we can get back into this game. Crazy. Sad times. Looks like my beloved Brentford haven't done it. But at the end of the day, you've got to say, proud of them. They've done the best they can do, but it just wasn't meant to be. Well done to Fulham. All the best. And that's life. That's life.
Yeah, poor old Lloyd Owusu, the Brentford legend, getting up at 4 a.m. to watch the Bees lose out in that playoff final. Hello, I'm Ben Turner, and this is the final official EFL podcast of what has been an unprecedented, unpredictable and sensational season. We'll be speaking to a Fulham legend in Bobby Zamora, and we'll also be catching up with the EFL's newest team. But first, here's a reminder of a dramatic night at Wembley.
The EFL Sky Bet Playoffs.
Fulham free kick. Joe Bryan to take a man down here. It's a Brentford player who has gone down. It's Emiliano who's gone down in an off the ball altercation. At least that's what he's suggesting. A yellow card has been shown, I think, to Aleksandar Mitrovic here. Not sure what view, if any, the referee would have had of this. Let's have a look. Ah, okay. We'll curl it left footed into the edge of that penalty area. In it goes, in fact he catches round and scores brilliantly! Joe Bryan has scored for Fulham! With one of the quickest pieces of thinking you will ever see!
It's going to be a interesting last 4 minutes.
It certainly is. I mean, they will quite justifiably take the view, well, if Fulham score again, it doesn't really make much difference. They have to find a goal, 1-0 or 2-0. Doesn't make much odds. That's a neat little 1-2. Bryan again, and that'll win it. Joe Bryan has scored again for Fulham. He's curled it under the goalkeeper with his right foot into the corner of the net. And there are 3 minutes to go. And Fulham's left back, Joe Bryan, has scored twice. And Fulham are surely heading back to the Premier League. That's 7 Brentford players in there. Nor got a cross goal, and it's in from Dalsgaard. Henrik Dalsgaard scores for Brentford. And there's a scrap for the ball. The yellow card is being shown to Marek Rodak, who wouldn't allow Brentford to claim it. And this is in the back of Fulham's net. 4 minutes were indicated. Almost 4 have been played, but it's 2-1.
I feel emotional, and I suppose that the journey that you go on, you all know that ups and downs, and along the way the disappointment, and I'm the face what fronts it up, and I'm the one that everyone sees, but behind the scenes is a support network of people that keep you going in them times and keep you going in them moments. And I suppose that's why I feel emotional, because I feel for them people what are not here, and I feel for the people what have supported the team, supported me as the manager. Again, Dean, you know, as a manager, sometimes you've not always got that, and I'm very proud of my team. I'm so proud of them, and I'm proud of what we've done.
Well, Hoylett's got the better of Buxton. Puts it into an area. Keogh, Zamora! Unbelievable! From the very brink of elimination, Bobby Zamora has surely scored another playoff winner.
Now, who else better to speak to than a man who knows all about scoring the winning goal in a playoff final? That man is former Fulham striker Bobby Zamora. Bobby, how will Joe Bryan be feeling after that? I'm guessing a little hungover this morning.
Yeah, and undoubtedly he'll be a little hungover. I think you'll be slightly surprised as well that he's not only come up with one goal, but two in the final. Absolutely buzzing for him. Absolutely buzzing for the club as well. So, over the moon, but what an occasion. And I think he'll still wake up this morning banging head and pinching himself.
Yeah, you've scored the winner twice in a playoff final, as we've touched on. Is there a better feeling in football? I'm guessing it's right up there for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge occasion. Unfortunately for him and the club, obviously the fans, your friends, your family wouldn't have been there. But for myself and obviously majority of big finals that people go to and are successful in, it's a fantastic occasion, first and foremost, for your friends and your family that go along to the game. And obviously there's the joy for all of the fans and the club, the relief as well. You work all season for one game, and it's come down to that. It's heartbreaking if you lose, but what an occasion. No better way to get promotion than in a playoff final.
Yeah, for you, when you did score those goals for West Ham and QPR, did you wake up and have a feeling that it was going to be your day that day, or did it just work out for you?
I just remember being completely relaxed, both games, really. I actually done a playoff diary, really, for some friends. And I just remember walking around the canteen in the morning and day of the game, just being so totally relaxed and having a laugh and a joke and ripping some of the other players. So being completely relaxed and just trying to take in the occasion, trying to enjoy it. But it does go so fast. And it is all a little bit of a blur, but nice to look back on, you know, video footage. And, you know, clubs generally now do that anyway and have a lot of cameras everywhere. In this day and age, there are cameras everywhere recording everything. So on a successful day like the playoff final, yeah, you know that I'm sure the club will put something together and you'll be able to look back and take it all in. But generally, I'm normally quite relaxed for big games and just try and relax and enjoy it. What will be, a lot of my thinking is.
You say you're relaxed as well, but you've experienced the pressure of being, you know, one of the favourites for promotion in the Championship with both QPR and West Ham. How much credit has to go to Scott Parker for delivering when the pressure is on like that? Because a lot of people were expecting Fulham to go straight back up.
A lot of pressure. But I think he's worked a tremendous job, really. I think he's done very, very well in terms of the recruitment, the players that he's had. He's not gone and spent mad money. But he's worked with a bunch of players, moulding them, grown them, and certainly grown his philosophy in the club as well. So I'm really pleased for him, extremely pleased that there's another English manager in the Premier League next season. Undoubtedly, it's going to be very, very hard for him and the club. But it's certainly where they want to be and the platform that they're where they want to be as well.
How much were you impressed with his tactics as well last night? Obviously, it was a bit of a surprise not to see Mitrovic starting the game. Obviously, we found out afterwards he was carrying that injury, but they did nullify Brentford's threat very well, didn't they?
Yeah, they've done extremely well. They worked very, very hard. I don't think Brentford created much at all, really. I was expecting them to be a lot more of a threat. But that, like you say, comes down to the tactics that Scott's employed. And like you say, yeah, a surprise that Mitrovic wasn't playing. But for myself, I would have done the same thing and not brought him on until the end. One, to either relieve the pressure or, you know, if they're after a goal, to be that big threat in the box. Obviously, we don't know the extent of the injury, but it must have been quite bad. I mean, I remember seeing him warming up, bib off, bib back on, you know, was he going to go on? And I think they were weighing up when the extra time was going to come and how long he could play. But so tactically, very good from Scott, and so pleased for him.
How frustrating will it have been from Alexander Mitrovic's part, though, not to be able to, even though he is injured, obviously, but not to be, you know, be able to play as much of a part as he'd wanted in that final? Because you were telling me before we started the interview about your experience in the Europa League final. Can you just tell us about that?
Yeah, I obviously missed the Europa League final. Well, I played, but I probably shouldn't have done. I had an Achilles injury, but it obviously playing all season, like Mitrovic has done this year, contributed to the run, and it coming down to such a big occasion and such, you know, one final game. I'm sure he would have been disappointed, but equally he would have been pleased to get on the pitch and actually be a part of that game, be a part of that club's history. Didn't score, but again, like I say, to be a part of it, be out on that pitch and do his job and come through the game, not injured again as such. So, yeah, I think he'll be pleased. A few weeks to recover, get that treatment, and look forward to the Premier League.
Yeah, no regrets now. Of course, he is in the Premier League, as you mentioned. But now Fulham in the Premier League, is it fair to say they need a different approach this time than the last time out if they are to stay in there and stay up this season, next season, should I say?
They're going to. Recruitment always comes down, you know, it's so important. It's going to be interesting to see who they go for, what sort of money they're looking to spend. But recruitment's key, and whether it goes down to a sporting director or Scott has a full say on who he wants. I personally believe that the manager should have complete say on who comes in and who goes out. So it'll be interesting. But Scott's an experienced guy. You know, he hasn't had many years in management, but he knows the game. He knows the game very, very well. So I'm hoping that he has his say. He brings in who he wants, and he certainly gives it a good crack.
Of course, you've experienced struggles in the Premier League. You've fought to stay up in your time as a player. What is the secret when you are, you know, going up against all the odds to stay in the Premier League? What's the secret in terms of trying to mount that challenge for safety?
Yeah, for me, it's the changing room and making sure that all of the players are together. The year that QPR struggled, there was splits in the changing room, and that's ultimately what caused our downfall, I think. So having that changing room all together and fighting for each other is key, and it's hard when you're down there, but it's having the right characters, the right leaders in that changing room. So and Scotty was one of those. You know, Scotty himself, when he played, was one of those leaders in the changing room. I'm sure he'll be looking at one or two players to certainly step up and bring a few in as well.
So we can't do a pod looking back at the playoff final without Joby Makinoff, who joined us in between a double pre-season training session from Leyton Orient's training ground. Some commitment that, Joby. How impressed were you with Fulham's game plan last night, though? It worked a treat for Scott Parker, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought they came out and they set up perfectly, really, to sort of thwart that, certainly that front three, but even the midfield areas that Brentford like to get on the ball and play. Tom Kearney just dropped in a little bit deeper beside Harrison Reed. They looked quite flexible as well, with and without the ball. So sometimes they're almost a 4-4-2, and then sometimes they were sort of a 4-2-3-1. The wide men were really narrow. And obviously, Jos Onuma was that one that was either up or just off the striker. So, you know, from that point of view, I think game plan wise, they controlled the game. They really nullified any threat that Brentford were going to pose. And I've got to be honest, I thought they were very, very comfortable and very, very worthy winners in the end.
Yeah, I know you predicted it to be tight as well, but certainly was very, very tense, as you mentioned. Is that part of an occasion like that now? Because the game meant so much to both teams.
Yeah, I think when you look at the playoff finals, generally they are tight affairs. Obviously, we've had some classics down the years. But generally, I think with so much at stake, and again, you know, we can't forget, you know, the effort that these boys have put in, you know, the amount of games they've had in such a short period of time, you know, to get to a final and be at the end of such a condensed fixture list, I'm sure that took a little bit of a toll. Again, add on the pressure, and you sometimes get, you know, maybe less of a spectacle, but, you know, it's a game that was obviously full of tension. And, you know, from that point of view, it's to be expected a little bit. I think that the neutrals would expect two good teams that are going to come and get the ball down and play attacking football. But again, credit to Scott Parker. He never allowed Brentford to get in their stride and do what they wanted to do. So, you know, that's a big part. If you let Brentford play and do what they want, you know, they're a tough, tough task for anybody to deal with. So, you know, I think that went into the planning, certainly for Scott Parker.
How impressed were you as well with Tom Kearney as well? A different type of performance from him than 2 years ago when he scored that winner at Wembley. Looked a real leader on that pitch, didn't he?
He did, and I think he's coming for a bit of unfair criticism this season. Again, I think he's almost a victim of the last successful Fulham team's success. I think Scott Parker is as well, although he had nothing to do with it. I think everybody compares this team to that team, and they were two different teams. You know, I think Scott Parker realised halfway through the season that they've got to be a little bit more careful with how they play out. And I think a lot of people look at Kearney as, well, he hasn't produced what he did during that season, but his role has been different when you look at how Fulham play. I mean, last night he was a lot deeper. He was really alongside Harrison Reed. But generally, he's been a bit deeper this season. So he's not getting in as many areas, forward areas, that he was certainly in that promotion year previously. And again, listen, you want your big players to step up. You know, he certainly did that last night with a real commanding performance in a real crucial area of the pitch. So, you know, I'm sure he would have been delighted. Scott Parker has really stuck by him. You know, he's faced calls at times to maybe not even play. But he's really stuck by Tom Kearney, and he's come through from yesterday with a fantastic captain's performance that, you know, has gone a long way to helping him get into the Premier League.
Speaking of big performances, your friend Michael Hector nullified Watkins throughout as well. How impressed were you with how Virgil van Dijk played in this one?
Yeah, I spoke to him about that nickname, to be fair, and he weren't even really having it because he doesn't want to compare himself to Van Dijk. But to his credit, you know, when you talk about impact, you talk about players coming in and, you know, being a real big difference in that team. He certainly had a massive impact in that team. And it's interesting, if he'd been available from the start of the season, you know, how close it was to Fulham actually going up automatically, that could have been the difference. You know, having said that, he wasn't available and came in, obviously, played from January and they've had a very, very good record since. You know, I think he's been a real physical, constant presence in the heart of that defence. I think decision-wise on the ball, as much as he's comfortable, he doesn't take risks when they're not on. I think that's been a big part of Fulham conceding less goals than they were earlier in the season. And again, you know, to deal with Ollie Watkins as he did last night, you know, you look at the goals he scores, but not just that, Ollie Watkins' movement is fantastic, probably as good as anyone in the division in that area of the pitch. And, you know, Michael Hector really had a big job on his hands last night, and I felt that he really rised to the challenge. I think this is a good opportunity for him to find a home. You know, he's bounced around a lot in terms of going on loan, you know, even in his early part of his career when he was at Reading. And then when he moved to Chelsea again, you know, went over to Germany and to Sheffield Wednesday, been to Hull. And he's seen this as an opportunity to really put down some roots and get himself established at a team that he can really go and kick on at. And, you know, I think, again, you talk about big performances, you talk about big players, and he certainly delivered that last night.
Yeah, certainly made some impact. I've talked about this with you for some time as well in terms of Scott Parker, as you've mentioned, you've talked about him at the beginning of the podcast, but to turn that losing mentality of last season around is something really special as well that I want to get onto. Just how good a job has he done? Because it's not all been plain sailing for him this season, has it?
No, he hasn't. And again, you know, I've touched on it earlier, but I think he's done a fantastic job. You know, everyone would say, look at the squad. You know, they were a Premier League team. But again, like you said, they lost a lot of football matches last year, particularly towards the end of the season. There'd be players in that dressing room that, quite frankly, wouldn't want to be there. They don't want to play in the Championship. They would have been looking at a Premier League team, thinking, this is where I should be. So that, just as a start, is a difficult thing to turn around the mentality of the players and the fact that they were losing games. So, you know, for him to come in and really change that. And for me, it took, you know, 4 or 5 months of the season for the players to kind of get it, you know, understand what the level requires in terms of just winning games. I think they had a mentality of, well, we'll go out and be the best team and pass the ball about and we'll win games. So that's not how it is in a Championship. And I think it took them up until the new year to kind of really register that and understand it and be okay with it. They're not always going to be beautiful on the eye and play fantastic football. They're going to have to just dog some games out sometimes and get some points. And they certainly did that in the second half of the season. And that is very much a trait of Scott Parker as a player. And speaking to him, it's something that he's really tried to instill in that group of players this season. I think that was his biggest satisfaction, having spoken to him after the two semi-final games. You know, the first game was Fulham as we want to see Fulham, dominate the ball, completely one-sided and really did a good job. Second game, not so good on the ball, but they came through it. And again, last night, I think it was a mixture of both. They had some good patches, some good play, but when they had to defend, when they had to see Brentford off, they did it. And I think that will be the most pleasing aspect of the night and the season in the end for Scott Parker. And again, you know, we talk about young English, British managers being given opportunities. And listen, it's a great job, you know, for your first role, Fulham. But there's pressure with that. He's had to deal with that pressure from the start of the season right up until the last kick last night. And you could see that in him after the final whistle, that real kind of relief. He looked drained, you know, and I'm just really happy for him that he's managed to get the team up, because it's no mean feat. You know, not a lot of teams come down and go straight back up the next year. So he's done a fantastic job. Really pleased for him, you know, and everyone else at Fulham. You know, very, very well deserved over the season.
You mentioned in terms of the drain on Scott Parker, but there will be a drain on these Brentford players now, so the squad will be hurting after losing a playoff final. You know all about that personally as well. Just how much do the squad now have to get together and sort of use that going into next season?
It's going to be difficult, I'll be honest. It's hard at normal times, normal schedules, but the fact they're going to have such a short turnaround now, you know, is something that you can very much carry on into the next season. And that's normally with a much longer break, where you've got a little bit longer to process things. But, you know, we all know it's going to be a couple of weeks and they're going to be back at it. They're still going to have that loss with them, that feeling of disappointment. Again, we've seen some key players there that may be leaving, particularly now, you know, that they haven't quite made it to the Premier League. So again, how are they going to deal with that? But listen, they're going to have to take a huge amount of positive feelings forward. You know, they've had a brilliant season. And I think that's the biggest thing you take when the dust settles and the disappointment starts to subside. You look at it and you think, hang on, we had a very, very good season. We were one of the best teams. And there's no reason why, with a couple of little adjustments, we can't go and do it again. And that's when you start using those disappointments that, you know, it's a bit of anger, you know, it's frustration. You know, you'll see the fixtures come out. I'm sure they'll be looking at Fulham, who are Fulham playing on the first day, or when Fulham have got the big games against, you know, the Uniteds and the Cities and Liverpools. And you're looking at those fixtures thinking, oh, that could have been us, you know. And again, that takes a little while to get over. So I think Thomas Frank, the biggest job he's got is not having that hangover, if possible, and trying to get off to a decent start next season. But again, looking back over this year, there's a lot to be proud of. You know, they were fantastic, great on the eye, scored lots of goals. And I think, again, everyone at that football club, with the way that it's run, you know, deserves massive, massive credit for the season they've had. And I still think they're in a good position to push on in the future.
You touched on the hangover of this defeat, but also, as you mentioned, maybe one of the issues for Brentford going forward could be the model that they have as well. In terms of, you look at how Benrahma and Watkins have played this season and Mbeumo, surely there's going to be a lot of interest going for those players now. People are going to want those players in the Premier League, aren't they?
Well, they are. They're going to be targets. And again, with the model that Brentford have adopted, you'd have to imagine they're going to sell one or two, because that's what they do. You know, what they have done in the past has gone out and replaced the seemingly irreplaceable with as good, if not better. You know, and I'm sure that's where the scouting department's now, you know, are in overdrive, just in case they do get that big offer for a Benrahma, for an Ollie Watkins and Mbeumo. Rico Henry, I think, has had a fantastic season as well at left back. And I'm sure there'll be clubs interested in those players. So, you know, I think there will be departures. I think most Brentford fans will have to accept that. But I'd have confidence in the replacements coming in. Of course, you don't want to lose your best players. I know that. But they have a great track record of replacing those guys. And I think they do trust the process. And hopefully, if they can limit the departures, then, you know, they'll still be in a good position next year to go mount another attack on trying to get promoted.
It'll be interesting to see who does come in if those players are sold. I reckon that a lot of clubs will be keeping an eye on who Brentford are interested in. But let's end on Fulham, though. What do they need to do now to stay up? Such a short time until the season starts again, as you've mentioned.
Yeah, I had a lot of sympathy with Scott last night. You know, he's being asked questions about can you switch off, can you unwind after such a grueling season? And, you know, he said he wants a few days off, but again, with the way that things are, you know, you've got to really be proactive, you know, whether it's recruitment, whether it's organising pre-season, you know, that starts today. You know, they would have enjoyed last night, I'm sure. He would have woke up really happy this morning, but it is relentless. You know, it is now, right, what's next? And for me, they do need to improve the squad. I think certainly, you know, I look at probably at the back, you know, in terms of going up to Premier League level again, as much as they want to keep the ball, they're not going to have as much possession as they did in the Championship as they will do in the Premier League. So they will be under a little bit more pressure defensively than maybe they have been at times this year. So I think that defensive area is going to be really, really important for them. And for me, again, just adding that Premier League experience, that's one thing when we went up with Reading, you know, with the greatest respect to lads we signed, you know, either before the season or during the season, we didn't quite have players come in with that real pedigree, that the ones that potentially haven't got a lot of experience up there look around and see, listen, we've got him in there. He's going to be a 7-8 out of 10 every week because he's been there and done it. And again, that then lifts the level of the rest of the squad. So I think that would be a key thing. Listen, it's a very attractive football club to be at, you know, in terms of its location, its history. So I don't think they'd have an issue recruiting players. I think it's just very important that they go and get some real, real key ones that go and enhance the squad to give them a fighting chance of staying up. I don't think they'll go down the model that they went down previously and go and spend £100 odd million on a load of players. Again, for me, that's not really the right approach. I mean, Villa did it and have got away with it, I suppose, to a certain extent. But you can really count 2-3 of those players that have really gone on and had a massive impact. So I'd be looking at, you know, really those key 3-4 individuals to come in, strengthen the squad, and give the lads an opportunity that have obviously got you there as well. Because there is some undoubted quality in that squad that I think can go up and do well. But again, it's a quick turnaround. Planning starts now. And I'm sure they will want to give themselves the best chance of staying up next year.
As you mentioned, not long until the season starts again for Fulham and for Joby McEnough as well. Thanks for your time and enjoy the rest of the training.
Nice one. Cheers, Ben.
It's one for Martin to chase. Oh, now the goalkeeper, Slocum, chasing back. Martin making only his second ever appearance for Harrogate.
Well, I mentioned the press of Harrogate early on. Ben Turner just allowing that to bounce a couple of times, not dealing with that one.
Played back by Thompson to Folkingham, the captain, Kerry again. Do play a lovely brand of passing football ordinarily, Harrogate. Their tempo was excellent in their semi-final win, as well as it goes in towards Thompson! What a good finish! Got a really good right foot, George Thompson. Can he show it here? Knots have to be switched on here. It is Thompson's free kick, and it's a great ball, and it's a second! Well, Thompson turns from goal scorer to provider, and it's Connor Hall who's turned that in for Harrogate.
Big 10 minutes of this second half, Adam, for Notts County.
What a start this could potentially be to the second half for Notts. Baldwin fresh on. Roberts there too. It's Roberts, and it's superb! It's just the start they needed to the second half. And it's yet another brilliant goal from Callum Roberts, and Notts are back in business. Stead looking for Muldoon, an intelligent ball, and Diamond's making his way into the box here. The only man in there for Harrogate, that's who he looks for, and he found him! Would you believe it? Jack Diamond for Harrogate restores their 2-goal cushion. Up it goes to Wootton. And through here to James Belshaw, about to be on the winning side against his boyhood club. And there it is. Harrogate are going up, a Football League club for the first time in their history. It is a moment 106 years in the making. A dream is finally realised. Hard work, dedication and ambition are rewarded. League 2, their new home, come September. They've won the biggest game in their history.
Well, from a team now leaving the EFL to a team joining it for the very first time, I'm delighted to say Harrogate Town manager Simon Weaver and club captain Josh Falkingham now join me. Congrats to you both. We'll start with you, Simon. Has what you've achieved sunk in yet? Because it's such an achievement for this football club.
I think it's just starting to. It's a culmination of everyone involved, really. Certainly don't look at myself in the mirror and think I'm a better person than last week just because, you know, we won promotion. But it's been an immense last couple of weeks from winning the semi-final and beating Notts County in the final. Justifiably having a few drinks as well. So, yeah, just to keep it going.
It's such a journey for you as well, Josh. After starting at Leeds Academy all those years ago, can you believe that you're now finally playing in the EFL after all those years?
Yeah, like, for me, my little story, my journey, my career, where it's gone, it seems a long time ago, but I spent a lot of years as a young kid from 8 years old till 19 years old at Leeds United Academy. Do you know what I mean? It was my life and it were a huge part of it, and it has been, and it's allowed me to, you know, it allowed me to develop and become the kind of person and learn the things that I needed to learn at that age. It didn't work out. Unfortunately, the dream was obviously for myself to be playing for Leeds United. And at the time when I was at the club, there was in the Football League, there was in League One. But football's a ruthless business. I learned that again at the start of my career, and my journey led up to Scotland. I had a few, 5 or 6 great years there. And then once I come back home, and obviously the gaffer, I had a year at Darlington, just finding my feet again back home. Gaffer spoke to me, we sat down and listened to what Harrogate was planning on doing and the aspirations of the club and where they want to go. And it really fit exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to go back full time, which were the first kind of tick box. And then in them kind of first conversations that me and the gaffer had, it were like, we can do something special. And we both spoke about the Football League being the actual ultimate goal, and we managed to get promotion in his first year, which was fantastic, into the National League. But when you're on that kind of momentum and you're on that role in football, it's a special kind of feeling. And luckily we managed to achieve that on Sunday, and a fantastic day out, which made even better by getting the right result and achieving promotion to the Football League, where as all footballers, that's where you want to be playing.
Yeah, as you say, an incredible achievement. Simon, can you believe that you're in this position, especially after such a long and uncertain campaign with everything that's gone on during lockdown?
Yes, that's one of the things that's got to sink in, really, because we sank to new depths at times of despair, not knowing. You know, we were involved with the decision-making process, trying to find out how the season would be concluded. But fortunately, came back into our hands, you know, and we could do something about it by having the playoffs to play. And fortunately, it didn't get curtailed, and it was null and void because that was muted at one point, and that was a bit of desperation in the air from our point of view. You know, and I'm relaying it to the skipper. You know, and then obviously he has to relate to the rest of the players, and there are scenarios where you think, you know, oh my word, I've got nothing positive to say, and I'm the manager. But fortunately, you know, we've had the playoffs, and now we're in the Football League.
Yeah, as well, Josh, how have you and the players coped with that uncertainty, as we've talked about off the pitch? You know, such a difficult time for everyone.
Yeah, during that time it was, you know, no denying it was tough as players and myself, and the conversation that Gaff has just mentioned, and it was more mentally tough, do you know what I mean? Like, for us to kind of get his heads round exactly, conversations that I was having, then having to relay, like, you know, then lads coming to me saying, "Folks, what's going on?" And I'm like, well, I can, you know, I'm only telling you what I've kind of heard, and it was just draining. And it sounds crazy, but even the national, like, it were only probably 24 hours before the actual decision got made. Do you know what I mean? Of playoffs was happening. We still sat there Gaffer invited us all, the club and the players, into an actual Zoom call when he'd actually fully had the confirmation. And even at that time, as players, lads was asking me in the WhatsApp groups that we've all got, "I'm getting promotion, folks. Is he safe? Is he safe?" And we're all kind of sat there hoping that the gaffer's going to say that we was going to achieve promotion automatically. Then we get onto a Zoom call and it's back to playoffs. Do you know what I mean? But once we got our heads around that, we knew exactly, we had clarification, and we was able to just kind of focus our minds. We was delighted that we'd still got the opportunity, and we all knew at that moment, two games away from the Football League. So we were able to get some good, hard training set, you know, like a good couple of weeks of pre-season, really, if you like, getting it in his legs, putting the hard work in, and all boiled down to two games in which we managed to come through with flying colours. And I think everybody can and say that watching that we really deserved.
As you say, such an opportunity, and you took the opportunity. Simon, if I told you 11 years ago when you took over, you'd be taking on these teams that we're going to talk about in a minute on a regular basis, the likes of Bradford, the likes of Oldham, the likes of Bolton. Would you believe me?
No. It was a pretty desperate state of affairs at the club at the time. No players, no atmosphere. Very few people going through into the ground. Just anything about the club, everything about the club wasn't in place. So it was never going to be a quick fix. But I think hunger and desire has led us to this point, you know, where the last few years is just accelerated through the gears because of it's a combination of a lot of people, not just one person, two people. The chemistry's been there, and you can feel the chemistry, and it's a bizarre thing, but you can feel it equally in changing rooms I've been in where it's just not there. But the last few years, you can just feel us getting better and stronger as a group, and that's why it was quite hard to take in lockdown, because we were all of the same belief. I think, without being arrogant, we thought this is our year. You know, the feeling's so strong. So when we got the opportunity to play playoffs, we thought, now we have to just see it through.
As I touched on as well, Josh, the achievement itself means you face the likes of the teams I've mentioned, the likes of Bradford, the likes of Bolton Wanderers. Who are you looking forward to facing the most?
I think, obviously, the one everybody will be talking about is Bolton, a huge, huge club, which, you know, been in the top leagues with under Sam Allardyce not so long ago, you know what I mean? And amazing players, and it's just really been unfortunate what's happened there, and they found themselves in League Two, and we've managed to get promotion. So a lot of people will talk about that, but probably for myself, the local one, I'm a Leeds lad. I've played a fair few reserve games at Bradford City growing up for Leeds, so I think that one for me probably stands out a little bit more. It's an amazing stadium, is Bradford's, with a huge tiers and the amount of crowds and the support that they get there, and it's a real, you know, a real good place to play football. The pitch, whenever I played there, and I'm sure it will be the exact same last year, is a fantastic surface, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that we can have some fans back in them kind of stadiums, and it'll make it even a better day out for us all. But yeah, probably for myself, being from Leeds, the Bradford City one is the one that I'm kind of looking at and really looking forward to.
As a squad, what do you believe that you can achieve this coming season now? Is it all about staying up, or can you do even better?
I don't do even better, but we came into the National League only started last season. So it's our second season, but with the mindset of, right, okay, we'll ride the punches. If we can put the nails, we'll pick ourselves up with the same group and go again, and we'll learn, because they're quick learners and they're honest lads who all have got the pride in themselves to do well for the badge. We're going with the same mindset, you know, that we're not making the numbers up, but no grand statements, so no massive expectations burdening the players, and we'll just play our hearts out, you know, for the town, and hopefully keep the momentum rolling and see where we end up.
Simon, Josh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Good luck in League Two next season. I'm sure you won't need it from me, and yeah, enjoy the rest of the celebrations.
Thank you very much, appreciate it.
Thank you.
So that's it, the final podcast of a long, long season. Like and subscribe to the show if you've enjoyed it. Thanks for tuning in, and bye for now.